City Councilman Tim Mayer. Tim, good morning. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
See, this is why you should never retire. You'll get more work.
Well, that's true.
And the council has plenty of work going on, as we see in today's Herald Times, about all the stuff that's going to happen. We talked to Adam Wason. He's the deputy mayor. He checks in with us every Thursday morning. And there's that quote again. It's a once-in-a-generation opportunity as we look at the council members, that's you, and the TIF bond vote that's going on this week. Tell me all about it.
Tell you all about it. Well, we talked about it last week.
We did.
And
I'm flattered. Did you think that everybody tunes in every day? Not like you do. I know you're a trusted listener.
Oh yeah.
That's me. You'll get your letter jacket later in the season.
That's right.
I promise. But this is an important piece of work because
it is. The mayor has brought forward an opportunity for a $48 million bond issue for a number of projects within the community, and that is all linked to the expanded TIF districts that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. That the council approved expanding and extending the life of those TIFs. So this is really the last opportunity to use those TIFs because the bonds will bond out at about the time that the TIFs expire in their lifetime. So, the major issues that are coming forth on that will be the Switchyard Park, development of the park, development of the Certified Tech Park, work on the animal shelter and many, many infrastructure projects within the city. So last week, the council voted 8 in favor, 1 passing. It looks like, unless things have changed dramatically in people's minds, it looks like we'll be successful in moving that forward.
It doesn't sound like there's many objections, but what is the downside to this, if there is one?
Well, I think one of the downsides would be, if you were looking at it from a different perspective, would be that you are bonding up high and take away opportunities for future opportunity, take away future opportunities to bond where you may or may not need to do that. What the administration has presented to the council is a relatively conservative program. They've looked at it a number of different ways and taken the most conservative route possible. So that will not limit the ability of future mayors to bond. But, as we know, that those TIF districts will time out at a certain point in time, and so will those bonds. So that's how it's set up by the state government to do that, and so we're taking advantage of it.
And to lock it up for a longer time, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's
right. So yeah, because instead of it ending, you extend it.
That's correct.
Okay. So you can keep getting the benefits of what's happening.
That is correct.
From all of that. Yeah, and this is kind of heavy lifting stuff, and I can see why people can get tuned out for it, because government finance shouldn't be easy because there's so many rules and regulations you do have to pay attention to.
That's right. That's right. And what I was going to say is, the council has had public conversations with the administration on this. Council had a work session on this, which is an advertised public meeting. We had the committee the whole meeting last week. I know council members have had, conversations with the administration about it. So I think the acceptance level is going to be pretty high tomorrow night.
And so that should be a...
That's a guess. I can only predict.
Let me rephrase that question. Are you bringing your sleeping bag tomorrow night?
No, I don't think so.
See, then you'll be fine.
I don't think so.
As long as you don't have to... You're not camping out and staying there all night. So that's the big agenda item for you tomorrow?
That'll be the big agenda item. And then we will then go into... And there's two parts to it. And if you had an opportunity to watch the council committee last week, the other part is the appropriation part, which is the authorization, and that's where bond council gets up and talks. And so the resolution that brings forth that $48 million bond was the longest part of the discussion of the evening.
Well, that's the one you got to get right, correct?
That's correct. And then the appropriation part
That's where you distribute that money. Is that
The bond counsel travels down from Indianapolis and sits in the audience, and he finally gets up and gets to say his piece, and the counsel goes, nope, no questions, let's vote up on this.
Can't we video conference him in next time?
Exactly.
Save us some fuel, save us some...
That's right.
So 48...
And then we've got the to designate the four buildings in the Certified Tech Park area, which are the former parts of the Showers Furniture Factory Complex.
And that's a historical district, or what are you doing
with
those?
Yeah, we'll designate those buildings historic, which will...
Those are those red brick ones, right, down there on 10th and Morton, or around
that area? Yeah, starting at the corner of 10th and Morton, which is used to be the IU Press building.
Yes.
And now it's vacant and waiting for new tenants or new owners. And then there's other brick structures that were, one was a kiln to dry the wood, and one was, I believe, a what they call dimension mill, where they would size up the lumber to before they'd start to cut it up to make the furniture itself. So, those buildings will be designated, which will then give investors an opportunity for historic tax credits. And
that's if they want to come in, and that doesn't mean you can... what goes in there, it's just that they need to play by the rules of
that's the, correct.
Gotcha,
yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I
say
it so clearly.
There'll be certain guidelines that they'll be well aware of before they purchase the property and understand
what they
can and cannot do with it. Yep.
Tim Mayer is our guest this morning. He is on the Bloomington City Council and has been for some time. And you talk about getting with the administration and figuring out what they're wanting to do here with the TIF bond and everything else that goes with that. What other bullet points have they laid out moving forward here in the second half of 2015 that we should probably keep our eye on moving forward?
Well...
what's the next bit? Because we've talked about the parking stuff, and then we've kind of done that, and we've kind of done this, and are there any really big agenda items that we're going to have to pay attention to with an election coming up and the mayor leaving office? Is he going to try to put some things in place, perhaps knowing that he's not going to be coming back?
Well, I think that's all linked to the resolution for the TIF bond.
Okay,
it's setting that up, but the next big item coming before us will be the starting to work on the budget.
The budget, okay.
And we did meet with the mayor. We, being the council, met with the mayor last week before the city council meeting. We met at 5:30 and basically talked about what the fiscal position of the city is right now. From our, that was a discussion from Jeff Underwood, our city controller. And, he painted a very good picture that we're fiscally very sound, which is good to know.
Let me help the listener here, and by that I mean myself. This bonding money and the TIF money that you're talking about, how does that affect the budget, or does it at all?
Well, it does affect the budget, because when you do... rather than go to your general fund to develop the Switchyard Park, say you go to the bond, and then the bond is used to develop the park. So you're not going into your general fund, which is then being saved to be used for the things that we normally look for it to be used for, such as police and fire protection, paving of streets and building sidewalks, and all those things that the citizens of Bloomington expect to have. So
it frees up money.
That's correct.
That should be used for day-to-day operations instead of long-term developmental projects.
That's correct.
Gotcha. See, I learn. I listen every Tuesday morning. I learn. I don't know when your meetings are, but I'm learning this stuff.
We'll all learn slowly but surely.
Right.
For example, we could build sidewalks using some of that bond money, which would then free up money in the general fund for other projects. So,
this goes back, because as you mentioned, this does kind of tie in together. The money that you are looking for this bond, are you trying to fit day-to-day stuff in there because, A, you can get that much money and keep the general fund? How does that economically, who draws that map?
Well, I think if you look
am I phrasing that correctly?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think if you look at one of the projects that is being proposed for the bond will be to do maintenance upgrades to the animal shelter, which the last time we did work on the shelter was back when Mayor Fernandez was the mayor.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so it's a long time. So that's over 12 years, we know. And it's a heavy-use building, so it needs maintenance and upgrades. Before Mayor Fernandez did it, it was a horror shop, believe me.
I do believe you.
I remember. So, you know, that by funding that upgrade and improvement through the bond, use of the bond, that frees up money from the general fund, from the public works budget. So we're not taking money out of the public works budget. We're taking money out of the bond to do the work on the animal shelter. And that appropriation is made through the RDC, the Redevelopment Commission, and with council oversight. So, and that's how those projects come forward, is through the RDC.
Gotcha. Our guest this morning, Tim Mayer, city councilman. Meeting is coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 in council chambers, right?
That's correct.
Well, I've got that.
You finally got it right.
Well, after 10 years, you'd hope I'd have some kind of clue on what's going on. Now, the other budget issues that you have to work out, we know at the county level that one of their biggest, I don't want to say headaches, I don't think that's fair, but Marty will help me out with this tomorrow, is salaries and things like that. Do you guys have that same issue to pay attention to?
Of course. Yeah, and you have to realize that certain city employees are covered by union contracts.
Well, that's where I was kind of going with that, because life isn't fair. Not everybody's treated by the same rules, correct?
That's right.
But and you have to do whatever those collectively bargained agreements say.
That is correct. And then there's AFSCME, and then police and fire. And then typically what happens, those, of course, are negotiated contracts that we always honor. But then all those other employees who are not covered by any one of those unions or organizations, then they fall under what the administration determines they can go forward with on a salary increase. And if you recall, if you go way back in the early Crizan administration, there was a period of time where salary increases, we could not do that. So we had to hold off on salary increases at one point, and then try to do some catch up a little bit later. So,
Tim Mayer's our guest this morning, city councilman. You mentioned earlier the city attorney said it sounds like that Bloomington, the city, is in a good place. What is that attributed to, and how do you keep moving in that direction?
The city controller.
Or city controller, excuse me.
Yeah. What is it attributed to? Well, I think it's attributed to prudent management, really.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, and the council, you know, taking a hard look at what's brought forward from the administration when they want to spend money, and we give it pretty good scrutiny, so that.
Let me ask a better question, because I agree with what you're saying, and that's not I'm not trying to fight with you. What makes it in good shape in the sense that going forward, do you keep, like you mentioned, you're being prudent, you're making prudent decisions. We get that. How do you get out of line? I don't want to say it's reckless spending, because how do you do that these days anyhow?
Well, it's, you know, I'm searching for the word, but it's how you use your money.
Sure.
Yes, I think you have to go back to Mayor Fernandez's administration. When Mayor Fernandez was the mayor, he put in place a rainy day fund, which was, again, allowed by state statute. And since that time, we've always maintained that rainy day fund to the point where, Mayor Crizan has a very healthy rainy day fund. As a matter of fact, he said in the budget retreat last week, you know, that he's a little too, in his own eyes, he's a little too conservative. He's got a pretty healthy rainy day fund. But that, you know, that's, I think, a good indicator that, you know, we marshal our monies well. We look at it and think prudently about how you're going to spend that money. So, and yet, you know, trying to provide as high a level as service as the citizens anticipate and should get. So,
and the rainy day fund would cover something. Let's say it snowed 20 feet next year, or something like that. Is that where that would help out with fuel and overtime
and things like that? Sure would.
Because I think people say, well, what good is the money doing sitting around? Well, if you don't have it when it comes up, how would you fight those problems? That would be the answer.
That's right. Or
it's like an insurance policy.
Go back a number of years when a tornado went through Ellettsville.
Correct.
You know, you don't want to think about those things, but there can be catastrophic events that occur that you probably should have a little money set aside to take care of. So
just like in real life.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just like a big family.
It is. Yeah. The emergency fund, as Dave Ramsey would call it.
That's right.
You gotta have it. You don't want it, but if you don't touch it, and it's never there. Now, what determines that comes out of that? Would that come before the council, or can it, or
yes.
does the mayor's office just say, "Hey, we know we got X amount laying around here in the rainy day fund. I want to take Y percent out and put it to this cause because I think it's a good idea."
No,
and then that comes before you, and then you guys fight that out.
The administration would have to bring forward a request to take some of that money out of that rainy day fund. And that happens to, you know, we go through the budgetary process. We approve the budget sometime in September, October for the forthcoming year. But then at the end of the year, so we're in 2015 right now, at some point in time in the month of December of 2015, we will basically have an appropriation ordinance which will look at the monies that we have appropriated for the year of 2015 and how they've been used, and then move some as necessary where, you know, let's say, for example, the street department found a real opportunity to pave more streets, but it was going to cost more money. We could then shift money from one line item in the public works budget to another, to the street paving line item, if that money hadn't been spent in the other part of their budget. So we do that on an annual basis sometime in the month of December to kind of reconcile those accounts.
Yeah, balance the books and make sure that it's the best way to do that moving forward.
That is right.
Excellent.
Right.
Well, I appreciate the civics lesson this morning. It always helps. Well, you know what? It helps look at it because when you read these things and you hear about these things, it's translated a little bit easier where you can – not everybody's going to agree 100% with everything. I get all that. But if you can understand the process or how to get involved in the process, well, it does make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Good job. I appreciate your time, as always.
Thank you.
Will you come back and do it again next week? Or are you on some kind of Memorial Day hiatus long weekend?
Oh, no. We'll be around.
I'll be
glad to talk to you on next Tuesday.
We're just almost a month from the Taste of Bloomington. That means that's the official kickoff of summer,
gosh.
Isn't it?
Is that right?
I think it's a month from Thursday, but somewhere in there, 21 days or 40 days. I don't know, but that's a big one. We'll hear more about that same thing with all this. Meeting tomorrow night, 7:30.
That's correct.
Come all ye faithful, joyful,
there
and triumphant.
Go.
And we'll get caught up with you next Wednesday.
Thanks, Mike.